Okay, we're going to begin here at the top of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. I'm Rav Kahana, I'm a Rav. Cheresh, sheyachol ledaber mitoch haktav, kotvim, v'notnim get liishto. A cheresh who can communicate with us through the written word, then we will write and give a get on his behalf to his wife. So if he can communicate to us or instruct us through the written word, we're going to assume, as Rashi points out, he's a pikeach, that he's of sound mind. And when he's communicating to us, we'll carry out his instructions or his agency to write a get on his behalf to his wife. Zamar Yosef, Micah Mashmalan, why is this such a chiddush? We already know this from our Mishnah. Tanino, nishtatek, v'amrlo nichtov gedishtecha, person who had previously had married his wife, and then he was unable to speak, and we ask him the question, should we write a get for your wife? But here, Kinberoshon, he indicates through the movement of his head that yes, bodkino tosh l'shapi amim, Mishnah says we test him, as we just saw in the Gemara, we test him three times to see. Amamar lav lav el hein hein, if he answers no questions, no. And yes, questions, yes. Arelu yichtivu v'yitnu, then they will write the get and give the get. So how is this any different? Meaning that if he can communicate through the movement of his head, then is also communication through the written word. Why should that be any worse than his communicating through the movement of his head? Amalei Reb Zeir, Elaim Kamar, you're talking about an Elaim. Shiny Elaim, and Elaim is a different story. What is that? What's the difference between an Elaim and a Cheresh? Titania, we have a Braisa. Midaber ve'eno shomea. Someone who could speak and not hear. Zeu Cheresh. This is the definition of Cheresh. And as Rashi points out, it's not the Cheresh of Kol HaTorah Kula. Cheresh of the Kol HaTorah Kula, and also the Cheresh of Rav Kahana, is someone who is eno midaber ve'eno shomea. He's unable to speak and he's unable to hear. But this Cheresh in this Braisa is someone who midaber ve'eno shomea. He's able to speak but not hear. Right, Shomea ve'eno midaber, one who is able to hear but unable to speak, zehu ilim. Zev zeh, both of these individuals are kepitchin l'chol divrehem. They're considered as normal people in terms of their ability to carry out mitzvot and their ability to give instructions. So in this instance, that our Mishnah, the Chiddush in the Mishnah, is that an ilim, someone who is unable to communicate through his mouth, when he hears us asking him the questions and he can respond saying yes and no, then we consider that to be sufficient. But Rav Kahana, his chiddush is that even a person who's a cheresh by definition of Rav Kahana is a one who's not shomea, does not hear, and does not speak. And that's the chiddush of Rav Kahana. Someone who does not hear and not speak can communicate to us through the ktav, through writing, because obviously if we ask him questions, he's not going to hear and be a hirkin, so that's not going to work. So that's the difference between Rav Kahana and the case of our Mishnah, which is Elaim. So that's Rav Kahana's additional chiddush above the Mishnah. The Mishnah only dealt with an Elaim, someone who cannot speak but can hear. Rav Kahana adds up, someone who cannot speak and cannot hear. And that's the addition that Rav Kahana made over here. So Mar says, Umimai demedaber veino shomea zehu cheresh. How do you know that someone who speaks and does not hear is called a cheresh? Somebody's deaf. Shomea ve'eno midaber zehu ilim, and one who hears and does not speak zehu ilim is a mute. Dichtiv ve'ani kecheresh lo eshma, I'm like a cheresh who does not hear. Uki ilim lo yiftach piv, and a ilim that does not open his mouth. Ve'iyed ba'idem, and others the same. Kedamrei inshe, that's actually an acronym. Itke ishtakil milule, his words were taken away from him. The word ilim, Rashi says, is no trikun for ishtakil milule, his words were removed from him. So that. Since from that we answer the question, we differentiate it. Tosfos points out over here that the Ri says that a cheresh cannot use harkanah, cannot use indications by his face moving up and down. I mean that in the Mishnah, that the person who can use harkanah, who can move his face up and down and say yes or no, is an elaim, because he is able to hear. His deficit is his ability to speak. So he can overcome that deficit by being hirkin. If we can speak to him, then he can use the harkana to overcome that deficit, right? But when it comes to a elaim, right, so that we say works by hirkana. But when it comes to a cheresh, right, if we ask him in writing and then he responds to us through moving his head, then we will not allow it. That is not good. I mean, hirkana, the movement of the head, is only a valid solution when it comes to an elaim, someone who can hear and cannot speak. When it comes to a cheresh, like Rav Kahana, hirkana will not work. You need him to actually write it down and instruct us derech haktav. We're not going to say if we write him something and then he responds to us through hirkin, moving his head, that will work. Because over here, the deficit is both the ability to hear and the ability to speak, and therefore we have to have him initiate or come of his own volition and indicate to us that he will want to give a get to Ishto. So that's the Ri. Ri says there's a difference. Hirkin only works by elaim, And Ktiva Ayidei, the Cherish only works for the Cherish of Rav Kahana, which is one Enu Shomea Ve'enu Dintaver. So then Amar Rabbi Zeri, Kashali, if I have a question here, Hakashali, this is my question, Yitanya. Imli or Yagit, if he does not speak, me and lo Yagit, is the requirement that an aid must be Haggadah, must speak and give over his edut orally, Prat li'ilim, that excludes an ilim, that excludes someone who is a mute. She'ini yachol agid, because he can't give over his edut. So here we're talking about shvuat edut, someone who can be made liable because he took a shvuah that he did not know edut. In that instance, it only applies to someone who actually can give edut, someone who can speak edut. And ilim is excluded because he doesn't, as the ability, does not have the ability to give edut. Amai, why does he not have the ability to give edut? Ayachol agid mitoch haktav. Just like he can indicate to us or speak to us through his writing to divorce his wife or to through Hirkin, why not over here can he not speak to us or communicate with us through the written word? And that'll be his edut. So I'm like, hey, Abaye edut, come out. You're talking about testimony, shiny edut. Derachmono amar mipihem vilo mipiktavam. There's a unique requirement by edut that it has to come from their mouths and not through their writing. I mean, edut is only given orally directly from the mouths of the edim. That means that to the exclusion of aid me pi aid, it cannot be done hearsay, meaning that it cannot be done one aid telling another aid that I heard this aid say. And number two is that he can't write his aidut, meaning that he must give over his aidut orally. He cannot write his aidut and send it to us. And therefore, that's the deficit over here. The deficit is not about whether communicating through ktav, through writing, is considered communication. Over here, the issue is not communication. There's a specific requirement by aidut that you actually speak. Right, where we require communication in terms of indication that he wants to divorce or other areas where communication is important, that the Elaim can do derech haktav. But to actually give edut, that cannot be done derech haktav. Just as a side here, I think it's worthwhile to point out, there's a very, very important Reb Chaim on the Rambam in the sugya. There's a very controversial Rambam. I'll read you the Rambam. The Rambam is found in Hilchos Edus, Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet. I won't spend a lot of time on the Rambam, but I will spell it on the Reb Chaim, just Reb Chaim's solution to the Rambam. The Rambam says, Din Torah, She'im Mikabli Me'edut, Lo B'dini Me'monot, V'lo B'dini Fashot, Elam Mipi Ha'edim. Now we only have Edut, oral Edut, that is in Dini Me'monot, and Edini Fashot, Shenemar. It says, Apishnaim Edim, Mipihem, V'lo Mikhtav Yadam. So that's our Gemara over here. The requirement that it is from Mipihem, Velo Mipik Tavam, that it comes from their mouths and not from their writing. Aval, this is the controversial part of the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Aval Midivrei Sofrim, right? She Chotchim Dine Memonot Ve'edut Shibistar, that the fact that you can use your star is, this is the controversial part of the Rambam, they can only use this Midurabonon. Midurabonon, the fact that a star works, Afo Pishahina Edim Kayamim, even though the Edim do no longer exist. Kadesh Lotino Delet Lifnei Lavim. That's in order to exert a shuk, it's an ability to keep the lending markets open, the credit markets open, and therefore we allow for it. So this is one exception for Dine Mimononos, but it's a Shtar Midrabonon. So without getting into the intricacies of the Rambam, the Reb Chaim on this Rambam asks specifically, well, how does it work? How does a get work? How does a Shtar Kiddushin work? In all these instances, we have Edim who sign on these documents, and they're giving Edus to the fact that there is Kiddushin. They're giving Edus to the fact that there is Gerushin. How can this Edus work, right? If we have this requirement that it is Mipihem, Vilo Mipik Tavam. Over here, how are the Edim giving their testimony? By their signatures. So that's through their Ktav, and not through their Haggadah. So Reb Chaim says that this actually differentiates. We've seen a similar differentiation prior to this in the Gemara, but there's a difference between different types of shtarot. We have two types of shtarot in general. There's what's called a shtar raya. Shtar raya is something, a proof to another action or another incident that took place. Meaning that the ikar form or ikar process took place. And the shtar is just evidence to the fact that that process took place. On the other hand, we have shtarot that are, they create the kinyan, they create the process, they create the action that we want here. So, for example, we have something like a shtar gerushin, right? The get, which is a shtar gerushin, it's not evidence to something that took place, except in if you believe that Edim Mesira Akarte, and then it's only evidence to that. But according to the Rambam, who believes, right, that we've seen this, like the Rif, that even according to one who says that Edim Mesira Akarte, Rav Elazar, that Edim Chatima work. So therefore, according to the Rambam, Eide Chatima works for everybody. According to everybody, you could have Eide Chatima work, and the get would be a valid get, even without the Eide Mesira. So if that's the case, you have a valid get, and that get works to divorce the woman. There's no other action. The only action here is the get or the gerushin. So Reb Chaim, in differentiating between these types of documents, these types of shtarot, also says there will be a differentiation of this requirement of mipihem below mipiktavam. That the requirement of mipihem and mipiktavam is only when a shtar is coming to, right, replace or in place of edut. So what's a shtar ra'ayu? When you come into a document that's a proof to an action that took place, for instance, if I sold property, if I made a kinyan, and I acquired something, and then we have a shtar that lays evidence to that, it's a shtar ra'ayu to what which transpired, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to have edut now be incorporated into a document. We really need the edim to come and testify to what transpired, but since the edim can't come, we have a document that does it in their place. That, on that, we say that there is a requirement of bihem v'lo mipiktavam, and therefore midoraisa, so that would not be a valid shtar. It's not a valid shtar midoraisa. It's not valid as edut, except for the fact that what we say lo tino delet mifnei lavim, and therefore we allow these documents to stand in place in order to keep the marketplace fluid and to keep the credit markets open. On the other hand, when it comes to shtarot gerushin and shtarot of kiddushim and even shtarot kinyan on karka, where the actual shtar is executing the kinyan that we need, or executing that which is transpiring, that shtar is not replacing a dut. Actually, that shtar has a different din. That's a gzeres hakotuv. That shtar works in these instances. So these instances, it's not shtar instead of a dut. This shtar is the a dut, and it becomes the a dut. And in that case, there's not a requirement of regular edut. There's not a requirement that it be done in Beis Din. There's not a requirement that it be done during the day, because shtarot can be even signed, the get can be signed even at night. Right? So all of those requirements that are unique to edut do not apply to these shtarot, because these shtarot are not acting like edut. This is a gzeres hakotuv, that in these instances, shtar can work. And if shtar can work, it works no matter what. I mean, even pihem velo mipiktavam, that's not relevant. Right? Laila and yom, that's not relevant. Right, all of these other requirements of edut are not relevant to shtar. But when you have shtar ra'ayah, where shtar ra'ayah is coming to act like edus, it's trying to replace what would normally be edus, then it's got to function under the rules of edus. And one of the rules of edus is mipihem v'lo bichtavam. That's what the Rambam says over here. That why is it midirabonon? Why is it only midirabonon? Midoraisa shtar doesn't work. Because shtar ra'ayah doesn't work, midoraisa can only work midirabonon, because it has a requirement of pihem v'lo bichtavam, and shtar ra'ayah fails on that level. And since it fails on that level, it won't be a good shtar midoraisa. Midirabonon, they were attacking that it does work. So this Rambam is a springboard for this chiddush of the, you know, of the Reb Chaim, that there's a difference in shtarot, and that difference in shtarot also has implications in terms of whether a shtar is considered edut, and it has the requirements of edut, that's a shtar raya, versus a shtar that actually executes, and that type of shtar is a gzeres hakotuv, and it's not that it's instead of edut, but it is a totally, it functions, and there's no requirement of edut, and that's a gzeres hakotuv, that we don't have any of the requirements of edut in that case. All right, that was just a small aside. Now back to our Gemara. Meitevei, kishem shebodkim oto legitin, kach bodkim oto lemasaot ulematanot uledeot ulirushot. So, the question according to Rav and according to Abaye also said that edut is not able to be processed by Elaine because of the requirement of mipiam velo piktavam. And according to Rav Ganim Rav, who says that they're able to communicate in this way, it also says the question is even on Rav over here. So here, the Brisa says what? Just like we can check them out for Gitin, meaning that we allow to see person who can no longer speak, we can check with them, see if they know how to say yes and no. Kakbonotilamasaot, ulamatanot, for transactions and gifts, leidiot, for testimony, leirushot, for Yerusha. So what do you see? Ktani miya leidiot. Right, we're talking about here a case where he's going to testify. What do you mean? If he's unable to speak, how can he testify? According to Abaye, we just said that it has min pihem v'lom pichtavam. So how can here this elaim, or this person who's unable to speak, how could it be that he's unable to testify? According to the Gzeres HaKadosh, here we have a brisa that says he can testify. So I'm Rav Yosef bar Yumi, I'm Rav Sheshes, be'edut isha, dakilu barabonon. Now we're talking about edus, which is an example, edut isha, which is an example where the rabbanon allowed a easier form of edut. What does that mean, easier form of edut? They were not the full requirements of edut. The akilu barabbanon, when they have an aguna, and we need to know that when her husband passed away, in that case we believed ed echad, or efilu ed isha. So those instances where we do not have the full requirements of a proper edut, then just like an isha can testify or an eved can testify in those cases, or one eved can testify, so too an elaim can testify mitoch haktav, since we've already waived the full requirements of edut, and these are cases where we only require a subpar form of edut, then so too ktavam, the writing of the elaim, or the person who is unable to speak, is sufficient in order to be edut. V'haktani yirushot. Now we're saying that we have to test him to see if he knows what to do Yerusha. So it sounds like what? That he's testifying about whose Yerusha should go to whom, or whether it belongs to this person or not. So I'm about, no, Yerusha b'noa b'chor. We're talking about here, we're talking about the Yerusha of his own son. His son the b'chor. So Rashi over here says that it's a case where he wants to be mishaveh, he wants to equalize all the sons. Meaning he wants to say that the b'chor won't get a double portion, everyone will get the same portion. Tosafot disagrees, and I think the simpler pshat here is that he testifies as to one of his sons that he is a bechor that entitles him to pishnayim. That here in Elaim, this is not a testimony in edut that we need a formalized edut for. It's something that a father is allowed to say about any child. He has the ability, yakir lo tate lo pishnayim. Father is given the right to indicate which one of his children is the bechor. So in Elaim, so too, he can do it there chaktav. It's not a formal edut. It's just something that he has to indicate to us which one is a bechor, and that any Elaim can do. So what are you going to do? Transactions and gifts. Transactions and gifts are all kinyanim and edut. It sounds like he's testifying about a transaction that transpired, a gift that was given. How could he testify again? So the Gemara says, my love, la'almot. He's doing testifying for others. Lo, the day. He's talking about his own stuff. So when he's talking about his own stuff, we're not talking about formalized edut. We're talking about making a claim or making indication about that which he wants to gift or that which he wants to give away. So now, based on that, the conclusion is what? That an elaim, someone who is unable to speak, is not ra'ui to be in formalized edut. He's not able to give formal edut. But on the other hand, in places where we do not require formal edut, he can use the ktav, he can use writing to communicate. And writing to communicate will be sufficient if we need him just to indicate or to tell us something or to give us over information, but not in the sense of a formal edut. Now the Gemara says, Meitavei. Cheresh, lo chokhu bo achar rimizotav, v'achar kfitzotav. When it comes to a cheresh, we don't go after his indications and his jumping. V'achar ktav yado, or his writing. Ela b'metaltalin. Only things that deal with metaltalin. Aval lo legitin, when it comes to gitin, then it doesn't work. So this is a question on Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said above that a cheresh, through his writing, can indicate to us that he wants to divorce. And over here we have an explicit brisa that says, no, that we ignore whatever a cheresh says, meaning that if a cheresh is considered not able to communicate, therefore no matter what he does with his head or jumps around or writes, we're not going to accept that except by metaltalin, but when it comes to divorce or gitin, we won't accept that as a valid form of gitin or gerushin. And here this person got married with kiddushin d'oraisa, got married because he was able to speak, and he's able to create Kiddushin d'oraisa, and now he's in a position where he can't speak, and then he can't speak, right, he's a cheresh now, he's unable to speak, or here, and therefore, he's unable to give Gerushin, and that will go against the position of Gerukhana above. So Gemara says, Zahi, that happens to be a machlokas tanoim. Whether a cheresh can divorce or not divorce is subject to machlokas tanoim. Why is that? Because we have the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. As he says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Bamed Vayim Amurim. When do we say that there's a problem b'cherish mi karo? That's only what? Well, only when he was a cherish originally. He can't create a get through his ktav or through his mimizot. Aval, what? When he is a cherish, a pikeach. He was originally a person who was a sound mind, was able to speak and clear. Right? Vinit cheresh, and afterwards he became a deaf and a mute. Hu kotev ein chotmim. He can write the get or he can indicate to them and they can sign on it. So now, what do you see from Shimon Gamliel? We see that there is a Tano who believes, as opposed to the Braisa that we just brought, there's a Tano who believes that a Cheresh, that after someone was a Bikeach, became a Cheresh, is able to create Gerushin. So Shimon Gamliel believes you're able to create Gerushin, and the Tana Kam, or the Braisa, says you are unable to create Gerushin, even if you were a Pikeach beforehand. Now the Gemara is going to do, as an aside, challenge what Shimon Gamliel says. He says the only time that he can do it is if he was originally a Pikeach, then became a Cheresh. But if he was a Cheresh originally, then he can't create Gerushin over here. And the Gemara says, why not? Becherish mi yikaro lo? How could it not be? Kishem shekonsu b'remiza, kach motia b'remiza. How did he marry the woman in the first place? He was always a cheresh. When he married her, he only married her dirabonon. So if he, the, the same methodology or method that he used to marry her, he can use to divorce her. Midah Rabbanan. So Gemara says, Ibishto, if you're talking about his wife, Hochanami, that would be true. Hochabaskinambiyavimto. No, it's talking about a case where he's a Yobam. This Cheresh is a Yobam. His brother got married to a woman. His brother dies, and now he's marrying this woman. So now, Yavimto Miman. What was the status of his brother, right? That was the person generating the Yibum over here. If his brother was also a Cheresh, then what? Just like his brother married this woman through Dinei Darabanan, he did it through the method that he used to marry her, that same way this brother was performing Yibum and this woman can divorce her, can right remove her by Gerushin through the same way his brother acquired her. Must be that his brother is able to speak, he's a clear, sound mind, able to speak and hear, and he married her. So that marriage is marriage mido raisa. Then when he dies, that creates a zikat yibum to the brother who's a cheresh mido raisa. And he can marry her, he can perform yibum on her, but he can't be megarish her, because he can't remove a din do raisa, he can't remove a kiddushin do raisa if he is only able to divorce mido rabonon. So that's where the case is. That's the case where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that a cheresh mikaro can't do anything. Whereas a pikeach mikaro, if he was originally a pikeach, then he can do something because he can divorce her der haktab. So he by same olam denafala me'achiv cheresh. The possibility is that also a case where he was originally, his brother who was originally married was also cheresh. Ah, so now you have a dinei derabanan, so why can't he divorce her? Gzeir achiv cheresh atu achiv pikeach. We worry about his brother, even if his brother's a cheresh, and then he's only married to Midah Rabbanan, and now he wants to divorce the Midah Rabbanan. It should work, but we say it doesn't work because we're afraid of a case where his brother married her D'oraisa. His brother was a Pikech, married her D'oraisa, and now he's trying to divorce her. People might come to think, just like this brother divorced her Midah Rabbanan and it worked, so too another brother could be divorced Midah Rabbanan and work. But there is a difference in these cases. The first brother was only married Midah Rabbanan. The second brother is married Midah Rabbanan. Yoch ishto nami. If you're going to make such a gezeirah, say by his wife also that he can't divorce Midah Rabbanan, because we're going to worry. Maybe you have a case where he has this Yavama that's married Midah Raisa, and then he'll try to divorce Midah Rabbanan, and here he divorced his regular wife, Midah Rabbanan, because he only married her Midah Rabbanan. Maybe people come to get confused. Gemara says, Yavamta, people mix up Yibumim, Ishto, Yavamta, Michlifa. When it comes to his wife versus a Yavam, that they don't mix up. Gemara says, Umi Gazrin and Cheresh Atu Pikeach. Do we really establish such a gezeirah of a Cheresh Atu Pikeach? Meaning that, do we worry about a case where the Yavam, the original brother, was a Cheresh, and now it fell to a Cheresh? Do we worry about him divorcing her Midah Rabbanan, because they were only married Midah Rabbanan? In case of a case where there's a Pikeach who married Midah Raisa, and then he's trying to divorce Midah Rabbanan. Is there such a thing? That's not. We have a Mishnah. Shnei Achim Cheresin, Nisuin Shnei Achayot. You have two deaf and mute brothers that married two sisters that are pikhot that are normal. O shtei achayot chereshot, or two sisters who are deaf and mute. O shtei achayot achat pikachet v'achet chereshet, or one of them is a chereshet and one of them is a pikachet. Pchein shtei achayot chereshot nisuot l'shnei achim pikhim. Or you have two women who are deaf and mute, and they're married to two brothers who are right, can speak and hear. O l'shnei achim chereshim, or they married two brothers that are unable to. They're deaf and mute. In all these cases, all of these are potter min achalitza umin hayibum, and from yibum. Why? Because they're sisters. So since they are sisters, they are tsarot erva. V'mayu nachriot. But if these two women are not related, he can't sue, right? And then you have to, he can perform yibum for them. And if they want to divorce them, they can divorce them. So you see over here that in all these instances, we don't worry. We see these chereshim can divorce the woman, even though their divorce is only midah rabbanon. Nevertheless, we allow them to do it, even when it's a case we came from another cheresh. Why do we allow it? Well, why not? There was only kiddushin derabbanon. You can divorce midah rabbanon. And we don't worry about a case, maybe there was kiddushin d'oraisa, and now there is going to be a divorce midah rabbanon. We don't worry. In all these cases, at least one party is a cheresh or a chereshin, and therefore these kiddushins only midah rabbanon. And you don't see us worrying about divorce here, because maybe there will be a kiddushin d'oraisa. Well, it's clear that it's our original answer. That there's a difference, that the case over here is a case where he had married her midah oraisa. I mean, that his brother was a bikeach, married a d'oraisa, and then it falls to his brother who's a cheresh, so he can be miyabim her, but he can't divorce her because he can only create a divorce to Rabbanon, and he's married, or he's a zika sibumim midoraisa, and that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was talking about. But yet, if the cheresh was originally a pikeach, and then he became nitcharesh, then he can't divorce her because he can do it derech haktav, because he's considered to be, since he was once a pikeach, he's now still considered to be a full, sound mind, and therefore through his writing, he can indicate to us that he wants a divorce, and he can give a divorce through his writing. So that's Machlokes Tanoim, and that's who Rav Kahana goes like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So now, Amar Rav Yochanan, Chalukin Alav Chavira Aval Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Yochanan says that the Tanoim, other Tanoim, argue on this position of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Amar Abaye Afanami Netanya, we have the same brisa. Nishtatit, if she became of not sound mind, lo yotzi, he may not divorce her. We're going to see in a second why he cannot divorce her. Midoraisa, you're allowed to divorce a woman against her will, so he should be able to divorce her. Nitchareshu, O Nishtate, if he became a deaf mute, or he became of not sound mind, lo yotzi olamit, he cannot divorce her. So if that's the case, you see what? Chalukin al chaveirav. You see someone who became a deaf mute, he was originally a pikeach, and yet, lo yotzi olamit, he cannot divorce him, my olamit. Lafav gav de choledaber mitoch haktav, even though he's able to indicate to us, he's able to communicate us through writing, nevertheless, we say, lo yotzi olamit. So Amar Rav Papa says, so, I'm sorry. So therefore, Rabbi says, we see that the Rav Shimon Gamliel has a Tanoim that argue on him. Had Rabbi Yochanan told us that there was a machlokus between Rav Shimon Gamliel and his chavirim, Avamin Rav Shimon Gamliel the time of the Tanakamu. Rav Shimon Gamliel is really coming to modify the statement of Tanakamu to Ata. My olamit. So what does the word olamit mean over here? Afagov the chazina le the charif. Even though we see that he understands, he knows, he's knowledgeable, right? That nevertheless, right, that we don't say, and even though we see that he's a sound mind and he's clear, we don't say that whatever he tells us is good, but that doesn't exclude a case, what, where he actually writes and communicates with us. So if he actively writes and communicates with us, that'll be fine, because that is Rabbi Yochanan who's coming to modify the Tanakama. And when it says, lo yotzi olamit, is that even though we see that he's able to communicate, he's knowledgeable, nevertheless, if he can't communicate with us, then that's not good, or that's not a valid way to create a get. So that'll be the differentiation, and that's what comes along. Rabbi Yochanan says, that's what Rabbi Yochanan came to teach us. That's what Papa says, that Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush is that there really is a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Tanakama, and Rabbi Shmuel is not just coming to be mefarish to Tanakama. Inami, Rabbi Yitzchak. Right, it's for, this olamit is for Rabbi Yitzchak. What do you mean he can't get divorced forever? The forever is going on the woman who is not of sound mind. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Shota Mitgareshet. Right, that a woman who's not of sound mind can be divorced. Midava Pikechet Bal Korcha. Just like a normal woman can be divorced against her will. Umatam Amru Eno Mitgareshet. Why may a husband not divorce a woman who's not of sound mind? Shlo Yinaguba Minag Hefker. Because this woman, well, if he divorces her, he will not be able to either return to her father's house, will not know what to do, she will not be protected by someone. He can't just let her go free, and then people will take advantage of her. So we obligate the husband to take care of her, despite her mental status. Even though he could meet the rights to divorce her, they're abundant imposed on him to take care of her, so he won't divorce her, and then she will not become half care. Okay, we're going to stop over here, and we'll continue with the Mishnah tomorrow.